Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, today we conclude our messianic and prophetic study of the Feast of Pentecost, or what is called in Hebrew, Shavuot, weeks, the Feast of Weeks. And before we close our study on this Feast of Israel, the fourth feast of the seven feasts given in Leviticus 23, let's briefly talk about how Shavuot is observed and celebrated today in modern Judaism. As we have pointed out before, Shavuot was one of the more important feasts of Israel. Of these seven, three were decreed by the Lord as, quote, solemn feasts, unquote. See Exodus 23, verses 14 through 17, Deuteronomy 16, 16, and Exodus 34, verses 22 and 23. These were called solemn feasts because during their observance, all Israelite men were commanded to present themselves at the temple in Jerusalem. So three times a year, all Jewish adult males were required to come up to Jerusalem before the Lord. They were to go into the temple and give him due honor and worship. Three of these feasts, Shavuot being one of them. The other feasts that were required for the Israelite men to go to were unleavened bread and tabernacles. And Shavuot was the second of this triad. Shavuot is also called a holy convocation or a rest day where all manner of labor was prohibited. And like the Feast of First Fruits, commemorating the harvesting of the barley, the Shavuot also followed the same prohibition by the Lord. No one was able to eat of the wheat crop of Pentecost or Shavuot until the first harvested crops from the wheat fields were given to the Lord. So both Shavuot and first fruits follow this pattern. The first crops to be harvested from Shavuot were to be offered before the Lord in the two loaves mixed with flour and leaven. We learned about that in Leviticus 23:17. The Lord further said that these wave loaves were not to be burned on the altar. Instead, the high priest would take them into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, presumably, and wave them before the Lord along with the two lambs offered as a peace offering. So, again, we have the reminder of blood sacrifice during the celebration of Shavuot, which throughout the Feast of Israel, a blood atoning sacrifice of some kind was required, showing us again that in order to approach God acceptably, to worship Him and to serve Him, we must come by way of atoning sacrifice. All these feasts were made possible because of the crown jewel of the biblical feasts and the Feast of Israel, Passover, where the blood of the Lamb was slain to redeem Israel from bondage so that they could be a people to the Lord. And so it is today, under the new covenant during the dispensation of grace. We who make up the body of Christ from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation come to God through the sacrifice of His own Son, Jesus the Messiah. And once we accept His blood as the atonement for our sins, once we do that, then we can come into the Lord's presence and have fellowship with Him and worship Him. And this is true. This was true under the Old Covenant during the feasts Israel celebrated, and it is true now for the people of the New Covenant. We all must come by way of the blood sacrifice of atonement that God has ordained. The modern observance of Pentecost today in the synagogue is a very ornate experience, if you will. When you go into a synagogue during Shavuot, it is customary to see the synagogue decorated with all types of greenery and floral arrangements. When you look at the ark where the scrolls are stored, there is even an embroidered green curtain or some type of canopy or arrangement of flowers. The reason for this is because the emphasis is on the harvest, the fact that God has given the rains to bring about a fruitful harvest. For us in the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, when a person accepts Yeshua and is filled with the Spirit, he is to be exhibiting. He is to be decorated with, so to speak, the fruits of the Spirit. He is to live and lead a fruitful life for the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Shavuot is a time of fruitfulness from the harvest. And we who have seen the New Testament fulfillment of Shavuot and who have received the Holy Spirit from the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, we are to bear the fruits of the Spirit and be fruitful for Him, or we will wither and remain barren. We must have God's Spirit and abide in the Lord Jesus Christ to have a fruitful life for Him. And Shavuot, in a way, reminds us of this. John 15. On Shavuot, there are certain passages of Scriptures read. Indeed, the traditional reading for Shavuot is from the Navim, the prophets. Ezekiel 1, 1 through 28 is read. Ezekiel 3, 12 is read. Habakkuk 2, starting in verse 20, going through chapter 3 and ending in verse 19, is also read. Now, why are these particular passages read in the synagogue every year on Shavuot? Well, because the rabbis tell us that these scriptures describe the experience the prophets had with seeing the glory of God. Now, remember in Ezekiel's vision, he witnessed wind, fire, and voices. Ezekiel 1, 4. And we have the same supernatural phenomena that occurred on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. You had the wind, like a mighty rushing wind, blow through. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit's work is like the wind. It's invisible yet powerful, and it leaves visible effects of its influence. We also have the voices. All the Jews from the diaspora on the day of Pentecost, when they witnessed and received the Holy Spirit, they spoke with other tongues, many voices. And, of course, the fire. You know what that is an allusion to? The tongues of fire that alighted upon the heads of the apostles on the day of Pentecost, showing that God had poured out the Holy Spirit in power. So all of this indicated the presence of God to abide and dwell in the hearts of regenerate men. On Shavuot, we have also the reading of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 19 and 20. This is because the law was given on the day of Pentecost, Shavuot. And so the rabbis and the synagogue worship and acknowledge that day when the Lord gave the law. Another book from the Ketuvim, the historical books of the Jewish canon, is read, and that would be the book of Ruth. Why? Well, first of all, when you read the story of Ruth, we note that it took place during the spring barley harvest. And Shavuot is, or celebrates, the conclusion of the spring harvest. The spring harvest began with the barley harvest of first fruits. And then some 50 days later, when Shavuot occurred, the wheat harvest was to be gathered, and that concluded the spring harvest. And so this is why the book of Ruth is also read on Shavuot. So this fact is important when we talk about Shavuot. It celebrates the fact that God gives the grain, but He first gives the rain so that the grain can yield its fruit from the fields wherein it was sown. So these feasts also celebrate the early rains, the spring rains, because as you know, there can be no harvest without first water from the rain to cause the seed to bud, germinate, grow, and mature. Remember, the Lord had promised Israel that He would bless their land and give them the first and the latter rains in order that they would be able to gather in the fruit, the vegetables, and the grapes in their appointed times. So Passover to Pentecost, that would constitute the latter rain or the spring rain. And when we study Scripture a little bit more deeply and closely, we observe that rain also spiritually represents or symbolizes the Holy Spirit being poured out, and with that, revival and refreshing. So just as the rain revives and refreshes the earth, causing it to yield its much needed fruit for the sustenance of men, so the Holy Spirit is like rain. It is poured out upon those who repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, so that revival can be had and the times of refreshing given to men, giving him life where once there was spiritual death. And so the Lord has promised to give the Holy Spirit during the latter and later rain. The Jewish people have always understood the outpouring of rain or water to be a symbol to, and also to prophetically point to the time when Yahweh would pour out Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, on their own nation, as well as all the other Goy nations of the world, the Gentile nations. So the outpouring of the Holy Spirit the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Shavuot in Acts 2 was indeed a fulfillment of this prophetic anticipation. The first rain, or the spring rain, began on the day of Pentecost. And then, right before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth, the Lord will pour out His Spirit again upon the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, and their harvest will be the tribulation saints during the 7 years of Daniel's 70th week. That will be the latter rain. So you see, the first rain began with the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, producing great revival and great worldwide revival will come again when the Spirit of God is supernaturally poured out during the latter rain. That will happen during the 7 year period called the tribulation. And you know that when rain falls, the rain will bring a harvest of the seed sown. And this speaks also to us now who sow the seed of the gospel in our efforts of evangelism and soul winning. The scripture says, if you do not faint, in due time you will reap from the labors in the Lord that you have done. And for the soul winner, for the evangelist of Jesus Christ, you can sow His seed, the seed of His Word, confidently, knowing that the Holy Spirit at His time will bring life to that seed and produce salvation in the soul that you have planted that gospel seed in. Praise the Lord. That is encouraging. There were two periods of harvest in Israel. There was the barley harvest that occurred from Passover to Shavuot, Pentecost. And then there was the fruit harvest that began on the Feast of Tabernacles. Passover was barley harvest, and Pentecost was wheat harvest. So there were two harvests in the agricultural calendar of Israel. A spring harvest falling between Passover and Pentecost, and then the autumn harvest that the Feast of Tabernacles coincided with. The first harvest of the year in the beginning of Israel's sacred year was the barley harvest, which came as a result of the early spring rains. The wheat harvest pointed to the fruit harvest, the harvest in the end of the year, which germinated with the latter rains being poured out. The final harvest of the year occurred under the Feast of Tabernacles. But the day of Pentecost, Shavuot, was a day when the people of Israel gave thanks to the Lord for what He had given them. You know, Jesus said, He causes His rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So this fact that God mercifully provides even for those who have no regard for Him, disobey His law, and in some instances flat out do not believe Him, yet God provides for their life, even though they do not acknowledge it, because they don't want to acknowledge it, and even when they do not rightfully thank Him for the things He gives them that allows them to move and have their being. And on the day of judgment, the unbeliever will have to give an accounting for what God has freely given him, not only so that he could physically live, but also so that he could function and live a relatively normal life. All of this belongs and comes from the Lord. And Shavuot is a pertinent reminder of that. Well, we know that Shavuot, like all the other feasts in Israel, point to a prophetic event in the Messiah's life. Shavuot points to the heavenly ministry of the Messiah after he has concluded his work on earth during his first coming. Quick recap. Passover points to Messiah's death as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Feast of Unleavened Bread points to the sinless Messiah. His life was without leaven. It was sinless. And it's upon his life we must feed to grow and mature in our spiritual walk with him. Then we had the Feast of First Fruits, commemorating Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The first one to be raised from death. The first one of many who will also be raised from death after him. And then we now have Shavuot, which was singularly fulfilled in the book of Acts, chapter 2. The Lord Jesus told his disciples on the night of his death during the Paschal Discourse given in John 14 through 16 that it was necessary for him to go back to the Father, God, in heaven, so that he could send them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And then when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead and spent 40 days with the disciples, which comprised his post-resurrection ministry, 40 days with them, he told them at the end, right before he ascended to heaven, he told them to wait in Jerusalem, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and empower them to be his witnesses, starting in Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Under the early outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, the Spirit of God, as rain, was poured out, and a great harvest of souls were gathered. There were 3,000 souls, we are told, who were won to the Lord on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached the risen Christ. Then 5,000 souls, and then multitudes of men and women who were saved during this early harvest period. And the Holy Spirit, like rain, continues to fall on multitudes in all the nations, resulting in people being saved and putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and becoming members of the body of Christ. In much of this age, that harvest has occurred throughout the Gentile nations of the world. And it was a prophetic and practical and spiritual fulfillment, I should say, of Shavuot, Pentecost, the great harvest of souls, which Jesus saw and foretold and commanded his harvesters, the disciples and the church, to go and sow this gospel seed throughout the world and reap the redeemed souls in return. So we see here then that Shavuot points to the heavenly ministry of Jesus Christ as the one who sends the Spirit upon those who repent and believe on his name. Not only does it point to Shavuot, not only does Shavuot point to the great harvest of souls in the present age, but it also, in a way, reminds us as individual followers of Jesus the Messiah that we are to be fruitful for him because he has given us all that is necessary to be productive for him. in the works He has called us to after salvation is experienced. We have received, like the seed in the ground, we have received rain from heaven, the Holy Spirit, so that we can bear fruit for Messiah, and in doing so, we glorify Him. We show the unbelieving world that the Lord Jesus is in fact alive today. And though they can't see Him, they can see His power and His operations through our lives. So we say then that the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, is the great harvest of souls among the field of the world. And there will be another harvest at the end of this age, which will be fulfilled and is pointed to by the Feast of Tabernacles. That harvest to come was at the end of the year in the Jewish calendar, which was during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. And it obviously prophetically speaks of the harvest yet to come at the end of the age with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This harvest will be precipitated by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain according to God's prophetic word, James 5:7. So the believer, if he is to experience spiritual life, fruit, and productivity for the Lord, he must experience the three other feasts that come before Pentecost. He must experience Passover. He must accept Jesus as God's one and final Lamb to remove his sin. He then must trust in Jesus alone and feed upon his sinless life to be spiritually strong and mature in his walk with the Lord. He also must acknowledge that in Jesus Christ, his life becomes the believer's life. When you accept Jesus, like Jesus, you have eternal life, and you will have victory over physical death at the first resurrection, which is adumbrated by the Feast of First Fruits. And then we come to Shavuot, Pentecost. Though Pentecost is an historical fact in history, like all the other feasts, and it will never be repeated again as it was on the day it was fulfilled in Acts 2. Nevertheless, every believer must receive the Holy Spirit. They must be baptized in Him to have a personal and experiential Pentecost. These feasts not only prophetically point to Israel and are practically lived out today in the church, but each born-again believer in Christ must experience these feasts for himself. Well, I see I'm out of time. Please write to us or call us. We have a free newsletter you can sign up for. And pray about supporting us. We not only have a teaching ministry, but we have a gospel outreach ministry to the chosen people in Israel. And we humbly ask for your support. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Aleichem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.